This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning! Happy Victory Monday to you, the Green Bay Packers. Sunday night. But you know, it's one of those ones I kept trying to think of an excuse to go to bed. And then something happened. Like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
No. Oh, now it's only 14.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Did you go to bed?
Yeah, I did.
I figured with the backup quarterback in, and that's too bad that Geno Smith got hurt.
But Seattle didn't look good.
They did not. I was surprised.
Yeah, me too. Because they're kind of hyped him up a little bit to be, oh, it's a big game. And if they would have won, wouldn't it have been good for Seattle if they would have won?
By us beating Seattle, put the Vikings in.
Oh. Yeah.
Mathematically put them in.
But Seattle had more to play for, I think, than we. I thought they were going to play much better. I thought the game was a little bit, I could be honest with you, a little bit boring.
So. Well, you know, the Packers get off to that nice lead. I mean, those first couple of, the first four times they had the football, they scored. So, you know, that was. That almost set the tone, and then Seattle was playing. They're like back in their heels. I mean, their defense was really tough in that second half. Seattle's,
yeah, right?
Yeah. But that was a nice win for the Packers.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm.
That really was going on the road. Tough place to play. You know, generally a tough place to play.
Yeah.
And very, very nice win. This could get interesting down the stretch.
And it's gonna be fun because we have John coming in, right, to talk to us about
yeah.
that.
Yeah, John Miller from NBC 26.
Boy, he knows his football.
Oh yeah,
like you. I mean, I see him once in a while and. Yeah, he knows the players, and there's a guy I think a lot of us hope the Packers go to the Super Bowl. I think he believes they will, like, statistically.
I know.
Not statistically, but talent-wise.
But that Lions team, I know they got beat, but that offense is so difficult to stop. I mean, that went right down to the last. That went down to a scrum to recover the onside kick. With 10 seconds left to go in the game, the Lions still had a chance to win that game.
Yeah.
And that Goff is just incredible this year.
He is. And, you know, how we've had many coaches on here and talked to him. It was coaching because he was not treated that well.
No.
And he's happy. And I think when you're happy, you do better. And I think you're right. He's unbelievable.
Well,
I'm really happy for him.
Unfortunately, the two main reclamation projects, quarterback-wise, in the NFL over the last few years, Jared Goff for the Lions and Sam Darnold for the Vikings.
Right.
I mean, both of them were almost like cast-offs
right.
from their other
You're
teams.
Done.
Like,
right.
You know, we've had enough of you.
Right. They both have a chance. Well, not. Yeah, I guess they both have a chance.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know what I wish the Packers would? Because Christian Watson, on like the second to last play of the game, got hit really hard and was on the sidelines. I hate seeing your starters in the game near the end. I wish the Packers, when they got the lead like that with like 4 minutes to go, I wish they would have a special package with Malik Willis as the quarterback, where he runs the ball a lot more and they run the rollout plays. I hate seeing the Jordan. I mean, Lynn Dickey. God bless Lynn Dickey. Okay, mm-hmm. The thing that really destroyed his career. I mean, I know he bounced back and everything, but still in a lot of ways horribly affected his career forever. Last play of the game in, I want to say, 1978, playing the Los Angeles Rams. They were trailing, again, I believe, 28-7, something like that. Right. Last play of the game, Bart Starr, God bless him, has him go back to pass, gets hit so bad, shatters his thigh bone or whatever. I mean, just horrific injury that kept him out for over 2 years. On the last play of the game, in a game they didn't have a chance to win. I remember UW Green Bay again. Dick Bennett, God bless him. And I was doing the broadcasting of the game, and John Martinez, great, great guard, beating Valpo or one of those teams bad, and goes in for a layup and comes down wrong, blows out his knee with like a couple of minutes left to go in the game. So I've seen that personally a couple of times where they don't need to be in there. The game is over.
Yeah. couple things with that. One is, remember Scott was even talking about that a little bit. He says, wait, why is Christian Collins in these games when they're blowing him out 41?
Yeah.
Look, records are made to be broken. People like that, you know, and there could be that great play. The other thing is, if you start pulling people, if there was a coach that pulled people when it was 21 or points or if it was whatever, I would just have a total different game plan to go after that. You know what I mean? I think that you want to be predictable. And
you mean on the other side of the ball?
Yeah. If a coach pulls his starters when they got a 21-point lead, I would have a scheme to deal with the sub. I would do something totally different. You know what I mean?
But you're talking about the opposing coach?
The opposing coach.
Gotcha. Okay.
I would take advantage of that. The other thing is, I think if you pull them out when 4 minutes, 5 minutes, you're always going to be questioned, when are you going to pull them? And that becomes the focus instead of just putting them to bed.
I mean, there's two arguments to it, but I personally have seen two or three times when somebody got hurt in those late stages. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's when the records are broken too. I don't know. Then there's some great plays that come up and I don't know. I mean, that's the game. But so Christian Watson got hurt?
Yeah, maybe he just shook it. Well, he was on the sidelines, laying on the sidelines.
Well, their quarterback got hurt. I mean,
yeah.
Is he anything report on him? He looked haven't heard. Upset.
Yeah. I mean, knee injury, and that's never a good thing. It's a knee injury, but oh my God, there's the most gruesome injury in that Lions game. Did you see that, Todd?
I saw clips of
it. Oh, and even what the announcer said, we're going to show it once, and I hope I never see it again. His foot was, like, turned around. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. That.
Yeah. But anyway.
It makes you limp just seeing
something. Right. I know.
Or you put your sandwich down.
I know. Yeah. I know.
I'm not that hungry. Forget the Ozempic, honey. I'm going to watch this.
Todd, you missed a good shindig.
Was it good?
Yeah. I'm a little embarrassed on one thing, though.
What's that? What? No, you're good.
People say, okay, the choir was great.
I heard.
And that actually is a pretty cool room to have something like that, you know, acoustically and everything.
I am.
But, so they did a Blue Christmas. Almost like unconsciously, I was singing along.
And he wasn't like singing soft.
I thought it was.
It's like
low.
They were like the backup to John.
I didn't realize people could hear me, and I saw it on somebody's
Johnny's
Facebook.
Singing. He's 21 kids all excited to sing at my place. And then they're like singing. Also, they went to humming.
I was trying to time it that they would pick up that right after
That's
I lit
great.
Them in. Yeah, but I honestly didn't think other people could hear me. No lie. I thought it was just kind of like humming. You know, in church, you're just kind of humming.
You're right. No, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So that happened. Yeah. So happy Monday to you, December 16th. I'm so excited about something. Today is technically, would probably technically be considered the start of the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah, World War II.
But almost like we didn't really know until, you know, what it was. But tomorrow, right here, we will have one of the last surviving members that I know of the Battle of Bulge, 100-year-old, our great friend Jack Krasinski from Pulaski will be in here to talk about that. We've got a special gift we're going to give him from Dennis's, from the glam band's mom.
Yep.
So how cool is that? 80th anniversary, and we're going to have a 100-year-old veteran sitting here talking about it.
So fun to talk to.
Oh, you'd never know he's 100 years old.
Nope.
It's unbelievable. Today is chocolate-covered anything day. Todd, did I tell you my only disappointment at Jim's party?
No, you didn't.
I didn't get a chance to eat.
Why?
Well, first of all, it takes drinking over eating.
I had one drink.
No, you did not.
Okay, what was that drink you gave me?
Vodka and Tang.
Oh, it was vodka?
Yeah, it was that vodka in that tall bottle. You didn't take that.
Kirkland? I took the other one.
He took a bottle.
Well, you told me to.
I did not. He's like.
You told me last week to. You said, I'm buying this for you. You can have it.
That was.
Tito's.
I'll send then whatever. I mean, that's fine. I don't drink.
I thought you told me to.
Yeah, no, I don't.
You told me last week. I went and bought you a bottle. You can have it.
I probably said that.
That's
fine. I'm not, you know. It's weird that people like. Usually people take a poinsettia or a piece of chocolate.
I took one of those too.
Yeah.
And I tried. Todd, I tried. So here's the deal. So get there. And it's jammed. I mean, there's lots of people.
Of course.
And so where do I go? Of course, right into the kitchen, which is a good place. It's me and Nikki and Rob. And there's the. I mean, the food is just incredible. I mean, it's a spread. And you want to do one of those things where you kind of, you know, make the rounds right around. Oh, yeah. This, oh, let me try the one. And then you go back the second time for, you know, what you really, really like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there was always somebody there. I couldn't make my circuit. You know what I mean?
There was, yeah. That. Yeah,
I couldn't make my circuit. Then it's like, okay, let's go. We got to go up.
Well, I didn't want you to miss the show.
So I just had my plate. I had my plate in my hand, didn't
you
I?
Did.
Take it upstairs with you. I was like, no, I'm not going to be the one person taking upstairs. Okay?
Yeah.
So then, concert's over. Come down. Go into the kit. Get into a phenomenal, Todd, you would have loved this. Get into a phenomenal discussion with Jim's personal trainer.
Oh.
About unsolved mystery crime story.
I didn't know she was into that. Yeah. She told me that after. Yeah.
She is with that, what you are with hauntings and things.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was, I've known her for, I just never knew that. She was like that, she enjoyed that connection she made with you on that subject.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. So, Todd, but get this. So, guy comes up to me and goes, hey, John, you remember me? I go, well, you know, you look familiar.
Right.
He goes,
right.
Okay, I was one of the police officers. And as soon as I hear that, I was like, oh. He goes, I was one of the police officers at our canine fundraiser that night when you volunteered to put the suit on, let the dog attack. Oh, yeah. Hey, that was a great thing. And he goes, yeah. He said, did I tell you the whole story on that? I go, no. He goes, well, obviously the dog hit you a lot harder than we expected. I mean, and then you hit your head against the door. You went flying, the whole thing. So I actually had to call the police chief, Jim Arts. And I said, hey, chief, we got an issue with the canine thing here tonight. He goes, well, what's the problem? It's a fundraiser, right? He goes, yeah, we have an issue with the person that was in the suit. Really got hit hard, smashed his head against the back of the thing. And we're just concerned what's going to happen because of that.
Sure.
He goes, well, okay, who was it? He goes, John Mine. He goes, forget it.
And mind you, at that time, Jim worked for me. So, yeah. It was,
Mine, I'll forget it.
So, are you telling me there could have been a lawsuit or
something? I know. I gave it to you. Right now, it's like, hey.
Statute of limitations is
maybe
gone.
Maybe that's why I am the way I am. So, happy Monday to you. Is Frankie Ballard is 42. I don't know who Frankie Ballard is.
You do.
Do I?
Yeah.
Actor?
I'll double check. I think I forgot myself.
William the Refrigerator Perry is 62. Leslie Stahl, 83.
She's 83?
She's still on the air.
Yeah.
She just still does 60 minutes.
Frankie Ballard, by the way, is a country star. That's how we know his name.
I didn't even know that.
Yep.
Boy, I'm surprised. Wow. I'm surprised.
Leslie's pushing it.
83. She still looks good.
Yeah, she does. She does. She still is good.
Yeah.
In terms of, she's a good question.
I would not have known that.
Wow.
We got a lot of fun people coming out. We got Brittany, of course, coming out. Brittany Merlot, Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage, John Miller, NBC 26. Len Nelson, Michael Bailey from Steam. Their big concert coming up in Marinette. Victory Monday here. It's the Christmas season. Doesn't get much better than this. Oh, I can tell you what. So I want to take some things, and he wouldn't let me, say he's taking them to the shelter. They get all the breaks.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
That wasn't on the air, was it, Todd?
It's possible.
Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here at Good Lucky Monday Morning, along, of course, with Todd. Big show coming up for you. Big week. A lot of great guests coming up this week. It's going to be a lot of fun. Weather looks pretty good, huh?
It's awesome. It is, especially the first few days. I just want to say that last night.
And I just want to say something. Okay, so Todd, if you're watching on the thing, Todd just brought me the coffee. But here's the deal. It's not like I'm this prima donna, whatever.
Oh,
I offered last week to bring in my own coffee pot and make like a pot of coffee. Because with the Krieg things, it just takes, you know, you can't mathematically make one in the time of that break. Right, Todd? Like,
right.
Mathematically, it doesn't work out.
It's a two-minute break, and
yes.
If you don't get out there and start it right away. It
takes like 2:30 or something.
Okay.
So, anyway, so Todd, okay, if you promise not to bring in your coffee pot and set it all up and have it dirty all the time and yada, 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 yada.
Deliver?
Yeah, I will, if you get the coffee started, when it's done, put in whatever you want, I will just bring it in
DoorDash,
for you.
DoorDash, so, that's right.
There we go.
You have to order it on your phone now, John,
yes,
and give me a tip.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
right.
I would do that.
Yeah.
Do you ever get it, DoorDash?
No. Never is a long time. No, once in a while.
I mean, have you?
Yeah, but I'd rather just go pick it up, save the money.
Yeah, that's true, huh? I mean, a lot of times.
I mean, it's so close for me, too.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and if we do that, we would do it with Hagemeister.
You know, I'll tell you one thing, though. DoorDash people have it made.
Yeah, they do.
In regards to GPS, boom, you're there.
Right?
GPS, boom,
oh,
you're there.
Sure.
When I was a flower delivery guy, it's going to take this to Marquette, South, you know, Hemlock Street on the northeast corner. And it's like, you know what you hate
driving just around at nobody asks for directions anymore.
Do you know what you always used to do though? When you think back, that's the last thing. Now, if you did this, somebody would take a picture of your license plate if they saw it. If you had kids would be walking home from school, and there were times I'd say, "Hey, excuse me, do you know where Hemlock Street is?" Can you imagine now doing that?
You'd be surrounded.
Well, you'd be surrounded. I mean, if somebody saw that, they would call 911. They'd say this guy was talking to kids.
Right. Asking. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, you talk about DoorDash and UPS, United Parcel Service. I love their ad. They said, did you ring doorbells and run away? Because we're hiring.
Oh, that's funny.
Because kids are like, everybody did that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, we're hiring. It's like, okay, that's what they do. So anyway.
Oh, that's funny.
That was a good ad.
I can be honest, I never did. Because.
No?
No, you know why? I bet we didn't have three people in Nagani that had doorbells. So you'd
and
have
probably all had dogs.
And they all had dogs. And man, you do that, and some guy who's going to work underground at the Empire Mine that morning, and you just woke him up or something. It's,
yeah, not a good idea.
Nah.
Okay. Just,
when I was really little, we lived like in the cul-de-sac kind of thing,
yeah,
you know, a bunch
yeah
of townhouses, and we would do that. I did it once. And then, you know, all the parents complained to the other parents. And mom and dad were not happy.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
And when mom and dad aren't happy in that house,
nobody's
happy.
I know exactly what you mean. So, no, I never did do that.
Good ad, though. I thought that was
That's a great idea. That is a great ad.
Guy,
you know what, though? It's amazing. I mean, you talk about police as far as, you know, I mean, it's hard to get away with things these days, which is great because something happens in a neighborhood, and the first thing they do now is they go to everybody's house and ask if they've got the
doorbell.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the what's it called?
Ring?
Doorbell? Yeah.
Ring. Yeah. No, I would agree with that. And I was just surprised. I know New York has a lot of security, but that's unbelievable with that. How up the subway and then the facial recognition. He went here. He went here. And you're being watched a lot.
I'm watching
and
show
I'm okay with that.
But that I really like. And I'm just curious if this is legit. So it's called The Lioness. And I told you, it's about the CIA taking these women that are in the military and training them to go into the foreign countries and infiltrate and try to get to be friends with a woman close to one of the targets they want to go after so that they can kind of track it, all right? So the one guy was really suspicious, and he did this facial recognition or whatever, and it found a picture of her when she was in the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, is that a TV thing, a movie thing, or is it that advanced? You can actually do that.
I think it's that advanced. I think, technology, facial recognition, find an old picture, and they can update it, and this is what they look like now at 31, and this is where they were yesterday. I don't think that's so far-fetched. I don't know.
Wow.
I'm not into all that. But
I mean, you think about AI now. You can type in just about anything, throw in a picture, and get that picture, that person in that picture, to dance and sing. And I mean, it's crazy what they can do.
Do they have, because it seems like.
Yeah, they have resume writing, yes.
Wow.
Where did that come from?
At my age, if I ever have to do a resume anymore, really tough shape.
All right, sorry.
No, but it's like. Do gas stations sometimes have cameras that then the police can activate? Do you know what I mean? I would love to have a cop in here to talk about the advances in things like that, in finding criminals. You know, like somebody can be on a run, and it used to be, you know, if they got stopped just by speeding or he had a taillight out. You know, that's how they got you.
Yeah.
But it seems like now they can somehow spot you at gas stations through.
Gas stations have pretty good security systems, yeah.
Well, they do, but he's But what you're saying is it linked to the police where they can get that and do the facial recognition and follow.
I think they have to come get the
right.
Let's get somebody in here from the.
Yeah, I would love that.
I mean, they have.
You making a note?
I just did.
I would love that.
I'll see the chief Wednesday. So
you remember it? It was Todd. You used to watch the show, I think. The guy that wrote Seinfeld.
Oh yeah. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah. Where they had it where George Costanza, the actor whose name I can't really remember, he was the guest star in the thing.
Okay.
But it had him, he got caught with speeding in his pictures in the thing. And he's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm this fat. Am I really this fat? So he kept showing him his picture. I'm being stopped for speeding. Am I really this fat? Or these cameras? Do these cameras? Be honest. Do these cameras put on 10 pounds? Let's be honest. But they've got those, right?
Oh, yeah. That's going to be fun. I'll work on that. I'll talk to the chief Wednesday. All right. So we'll get somebody here.
There it is. Curb Your Enthusiasm music.
Oh, all right.
That was a really... That was a good show.
That's a good show. Absolutely.
How much time do we have? My favorite thing. Where they're going to renew their vows and we walk through eternity hand in hand. Really? What, Larry? You think you'd be single in eternity? I was just wondering. Yeah, that was a good show. I just thought, we're up there, whatever. What, we're single all of a sudden, Larry? Is that what you're saying? Your hope will be single for eternity? I was just asking. Mind on the Mirror, back at us.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Local law enforcement agencies are asking residents to be alert and aware of a scam targeting the elderly in Wisconsin. The Outagamie County Sheriff's Office says victims are being scammed out of thousands of dollars by people who phone them saying their loved ones are in jail or have been in an accident. The scammers ask the victims to withdraw large sums of cash, like $5,000 to $45,000, and ask them to wait for a courier or a bondsman who will come by and take custody of their bond. Officials ask residents to share this information with friends and family to prevent these scams from continuing. Appleton International Airport's adding more flights and routes to prepare for the NFL draft 2025 that's coming to Green Bay in April. American Airlines is adding flights from Phoenix, Dallas-Fort Worth, and Charlotte, North Carolina. Delta Airlines is adding an additional flight from Atlanta, and Allegiant is adding services to Pittsburgh, Providence, Rhode Island, and Canton, Akron, Ohio. And it's adding to several other existing schedules. ATW is undergoing a major terminal expansion that will be close to completion by the time of the NFL draft. The Menominee Park Zoo in Oshkosh celebrated the opening of the bear and fox exhibit and the arrival of its new black bear, Mr. Reeves, at a ribbon cutting Sunday. Chad Dahlman, Assistant Parks Director in Oshkosh.
He was in a community. He's a little bit of a nuisance, and then when they captured him, the community was a little concerned about that he's going to be euthanized. Then we educated him that he's going to be coming to a zoo to be a conservational and educational piece for us. So it kind of changed the outlook of that taking place. So here he is. So it's a good thing.
The Menominee Park Zoo is free to visit and will be open 10 till 2 Monday through Friday through the winter. The zoo is closed December 24th and 25th. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Once again, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here in 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS, and of course, worldwide in the Civic Media app. 38 in Green Bay, 37 in Appleton, 38 in Oshkosh on this Victory Monday. Brittany Merlot, happy Victory Monday to you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, wasn't that amazing? Such a game last night. Seriously, I couldn't fall asleep. That's why my eyes are nearly shut today.
Well, you couldn't quite. Every time you thought, you know, it was put away, something would happen. And, oh, boy, yeah. It's two score. Oh, it's this. It's that. So, yeah, I waited till the very end. But, Brittany, I had somebody mentioned this the other day. I forget who. I don't know if it was Todd or somebody. We had one of the biggest changes temperature-wise in, like, a 24-hour span in, like, years or something.
Oh,
what can you describe that, what that was the other day?
You're talking about just the other day, how
yeah,
our temperatures
Thursday
rose, or when,
well, remember when it was like fairly mild, then the wind chill was like 30 below, and then it went back up to like 45 above
Thursday.
Yeah,
Thursday, because
yeah, so we went from like, what was it, like 50 degrees on, I think it was that Monday, then we crashed throughout an entire day. Then, yeah, we went from, goodness, it was like 9 below for a good chunk of the state all the way in just 24 hours, like you said, all the way up to about 40 degrees. And it was through the overnight, too. So kind of wild, kind of different. And like you said, if it hasn't been done in a couple of years, I know that's a really, really rare event. But those storms will do it. That's what will get it. You know, you got that big low pressure system really pulling in that warmth from the south, and that's where it came from. It was a Colorado low, so it kind of dipped down there, made its way through Illinois, and then brought all that heat up to us before that storm actually hit. And that's why we were seeing such a mess throughout a good chunk of the state on Saturday. So there was rain flipping to freezing rain. There was sleet. There were ice accumulations up to a quarter inch thick off into western parts of the state. I mean, you could see pictures of it over cars, just this thick ice everywhere. And then further north, a bunch of snowfall. But even overnight, that flipped over to a wintry mix for the Northwoods because temperatures, like I said, were warming through the overnight. So yeah, that was different. That was unique.
And Thursday, we have the Botanical Gardens here, and they actually closed it because it was so cold.
There are a lot of things that was
cold.
When I was watching TV
that
night, there was a crawl like it was a snowstorm with school, yeah.
Yeah, just, but with all that said, go ahead. Are we going to have a white Christmas? I mean, can you jump ahead?
Oh,
I know it's 10 days out. What, 11?
You know, it's just giving me a headache. So here's what we've got going on. We've got three different chances of snow throughout this week.
Is it
nine?
Wow. 9 days to Christmas. Okay. Give us your nine-day forecast.
Northwoods, you're going to see overnight snow tonight. Tomorrow night, we're looking at some snow moving in statewide throughout Wednesday morning, probably about an inch or two for some areas. Then as we go into Thursday, another system hits Thursday into our, well, kind of like Thursday night. That one could bring anywhere from 3 to 6 inches. Thursday is our snowmaker for sure. But here's the catch. So we fall down, we get into the teens for Saturday, into the 20s on Sunday. Now we're pushing into the holiday week. Mm-hmm. Christmas rolls around. It looks like we're going to be hitting 40 degrees.
Wow. You know, I'm
really
I was talking to my brother yesterday up in the UP, you know, deep in the UP up there. And, you know, and he says they don't have a lot of snow at all. It's unusual but you guys don't seem to get hit with anything. And I was thinking about that. Isn't it been weird these last couple of years? Right. I mean, like you're talking, this area in the state got this, that area in the state got that. And it seems like we're in this little weird bubble. You get knock on wood. Everything's been all around us.
It's an awesome bubble, though. I mean, I love this. I mean, walking to work today, but you know, last night too, I think it was 40 last night at like 7 o'clock, or maybe it was 30. It just was not cold. It was all right. Well,
I went outside hiking yesterday and just, you know, one of those fuzzy sweaters. I wasn't even in the jacket.
Right.
Didn't even need the gloves. It's like, this is crazy, but the fog is not pretty. I don't like that for winter. I prefer snow.
Yeah, there were a lot of crawls on local TV here last night for different counties about dense fog.
Mm-hmm. Still out there this morning, too. So be careful.
You know, what's good about the Christmas, I'm sorry, it may not be a white Christmas, but you know, all the people who do like round robins, you know, at least the weather's going to be good for that. You think about that. I don't know. I'm okay with it. 42 on Christmas, that's a little weird for me, but I'm okay with it too.
You know, hey, Brittany, one of the things we're talking about here, and you know, I'm not making an excuse for some of these people, and there's tragedies that happen, so I don't want to make light of it at all. But when it comes to people doing things on ice, and not just ice fishing, I mean, you know, people that like to go balloon biking on lakes and different things like that. And this is, in some ways, about as bad of a situation for making good, solid ice as you can find, isn't it?
Oh, it sure can be. I mean, our temperature is warming. It's weakening it. It's melting it. It's shifting the ice. And then you're creating ice heaves, which are, of course, less stable than actual clear, thick, solid, hard ice. Yeah, these fluctuations and then these breezy winds on top of it, because those move ice sheets. You know, tons of situations where people don't pay attention to the wind. You're on an ice sheet, that one breaks off and floats off, and there you are needing to be rescued. So
I had a
are the cases.
I had a gentleman contact me. I could read the email. I read it on the air here the other day. He used to work for the Army Corps of Engineers. Mm-hmm. And he said wind plays such a factor that people don't realize it. And then once it gets snow covered, because of the currents underneath, and, you know, you might be right here and it's, you know, 2 feet, it's 2 feet thick, we're great. And, you know, 10 feet away could be a lot less. So, I mean, it's really, I mean, no matter what, ice, and then you get the honeycomb effect, right, in some of the ice where that's not stable enough. So, yeah, this is not good for being out on the ice.
No. And then you think about it, too. We still have some of those ships coming through Green Bay. So they're still breaking the ice right through the middle. So that's still enough for that ice sheet to shift and that ice stress to happen in those situations. And like you mentioned, the snow, that's insulating. That's warming it. So those are not good things when it's snowing.
It's amazing. Stand 30 feet from where we're sitting right now. Okay. 30 feet away. And stand on right along the railing of those ships coming through the river right here. It's mind-boggling how big they are. You have to see them. I've never been that close to them before than when they come through the harbor here. And it's, oh, my God, are those things huge. And I grew up around ore boats up in, you know, Marquette and Duluth and everything. But to see some of these things come through face-to-face, it's like, those are so massive. It's incredible.
And they do. They bust up the ice. And with all this... You know, from the honeycomb to the winds to these, shouldn't we just stay off the ice?
I know, but I'm
like,
telling
I think
you.
A couple things. I think one is, I think we charge for every rescue. Do we charge right now?
Do we what?
Charge?
To get your car out or whatever fell in. Absolutely.
I don't know. I've got a good friend. I think we've had him on the show here who is he runs a company where they go out in the ice boats and they pull the cars and trucks and ATVs out and everything.
That's not cheap.
I think there's a hefty fee.
Yeah, I do too. And I understand what you mean. I'm not making excuses, but for a lot of those, it's almost like telling a golfer, it's summer, but don't go golfing because it might be lightning.
It's say to a little kid, don't run out in front of the bus.
But what I'm saying is that's a part of people's lives they've grown up with. It's like deer hunting, ice fishing to a lot of people in some of those areas. You go around Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, Pipe, Calumet County, such a long-time family heritage is ice fishing.
It is. Things change. The climate is changing. If a guy deer hunted and he said, you know what, there's wildfire. Don't go in there. I'm going anyway. Family tradition. I'm walking right into that fire. I don't know if I get that, Johnny.
And I understand that, but I am saying sometimes
you can buy fish too.
Oh my God.
Jim, you do have a really, really good point, though, honestly. I'll put it this way. I like fishing in the winter versus summer because there's less bugs. That's the only reason. But if that ice is thin,
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, you know, I actually told my brother again yesterday, because I want to go up. If they don't have too much snow, I want to go up there and burn a bunch of stuff. We got a bunch of stuff that needs to be burnt, you know, scrap wood and everything. And, you know, it was so dry in the UP this year, you know, with that drought, that you're afraid to have fires. But now, this time of year, if you can get out there, what I was saying is, though, too, it's like, I even told myself, I would so much rather go out to a cabin this time of year or whenever than in the summer where you're doing stuff and you got the no-see-ums, you got the black flies, you got the deer flies, you got the whatever flies. Remember the time I came back last summer and I said, well, I fed the flies really good.
With your ankles.
With my ankles. It tore them up. So I'm with you. I'd much rather be out in a cabin this time of year than in the summer.
Yeah, yep, 100%. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So is the weather pretty consistent, you know, in Wisconsin? You know, we're here, are we just super fortunate in, like, these counties in Outagamie and Brown? You know, are we getting... go ahead.
There's a couple of things, right? Like, I think you're talking about that bubble, right? Why is everything
missing? How big
out?
Is the
How
bubble
so
is what
lucky?
I'm kind of asking.
Yeah. You know, well, there's a couple of things. First of all, you're on the other side of the lake, so you're not going to get any lake effect. You're too far south to get it from really Lake Superior. So you're really just relying on systems to come through. And with the warming temperatures, those jet streams are lifting and shifting and, of course, missing us from time to time. Like last year, a ton of them either went north or
right,
south.
Right, right.
So I'm in that same line in Wausau. I remember growing up having Wausau and Green Bay just getting hit.
Right.
But now they're going north and south. That's the trend the past few years.
I remember I was a kid, let me back up. I don't remember when I was a kid not having snow, not having minimum a foot of snow on Thanksgiving.
Right.
I know it's the UP, but they don't anymore. Say what you want, but it's the amount of snow we used to get versus now is truly measurable, isn't it, Brittany?
Yes, and it makes me so sad. Oh, I love snow. You know that.
It doesn't make me sad.
She's younger than us, Johnny.
It makes me think, but it doesn't make me sad.
It makes you think. I don't know. I just can't imagine, you know, the holidays without snow. If that becomes the new norm and we're not getting it until January and February and then it's warm and it's spring and it's summer already, if we only get a month or two of it and it's missing the holidays, I'll be sad.
I remember when I was going to school in Arizona the first time and it was close. It was probably like this time of year you're having finals and this is in, you know, Tempe, Arizona, or Tucson, Arizona, wherever. And it's like, oh man, can't wait to get back home for the real Christmas because I just couldn't get in. And I get home and you get like a 3-week break. It's like about a week. It's like, oh my God, when do I go back to Arizona? I'm so sick of shoveling snow. Every day I was shoveling snow and going out early to scrape the car and starting up the car and doing whatever. It's like, why do we live here?
I know. I think the older you get, the more you unappreciate, whatever the right word is, but you're okay with no snow.
Hey, I got a funny thing. They were talking about Josh Jacobs, Packers' great running back, about how much he loves it in Green Bay. He just can't believe it. And he said the first time he experienced snow, it's like, oh my God. And he goes outside and sidewalk was completely shoveled out. His driveway. Neighbors just went over and shoveled out his driveway. He goes, the nicest people in the world. My driveway was shoveled out. People came over and they, who does that?
Green Bay does that.
Green Bay does that. Brittany, give us a quick forecast.
All right, we're looking at temperatures staying nice and warm today, cooling throughout the week, a couple shots of snowfall, and then warmth for Christmas.
Phenomenal. Wow. Thank you so much, Brittany Merlot. You're the best.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Take care. Mine on the Bear. Back after us.
And I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here. December 16th. Once again, tomorrow we're going to have a very special guest, 100-year-old World War II veteran. This is the start of the Battle of the Bulge, which was, you know, everybody talks about the D-Day invasion, which, of course, was, you know, world-renowned. Talk about a lot of different things, you know, Iwo Jima and these horrible battles. But the Battle of the Bulge was, like, the worst. That's, like, the worst thing our country's ever been in was the Battle of the Bulge. I mean, it was, like, 60,000 casualties right near. Everybody thought the war was going to be over by. The big thing was, we're home by Christmas. We're home by Christmas. Oh, just winding it down. We're going to be home by Christmas. It's all over. Terrible lack of. I mean, Eisenhower was at a wedding reception in, like, England. No, the generals were all taking it off. Everybody is kicking back. Got it. Hitler and his generals. I know he was a whack job at that point, maybe even more of a whack job with his drugs or whatever it was he was doing. But holy cow, did they pull the wool over our eyes on that one. It was a horrific thing, the Battle of the Bulge. The conditions were terrible. And we're going to have a gentleman on yesterday was there.
Wow. That's going
to
be awesome.
Talk about crawling into bales of hay to stay warm at night and really, really something.
Wow. That'd be fun. And he's, like I said, I've seen him many, many times. He's entertaining. He's going to be fun.
There is a gentleman. I want to bring in some of my books. I want to read some excerpts tomorrow about it. One of my great friends, Ruben Schnetzel, went to his funeral a few years ago from Shano. And he spoke fluent German. Mm-hmm. And he was actually used as a translator sometimes and everything. Well, they were lost one night, his patrol. They were lost. And all of a sudden, he spotted the silhouette of a German helmet in the moonlight. So he told everybody, no one move. I think he took his helmet off so he couldn't. And he starts speaking in German to the guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's but he kept his distance. Hey, you know, Max Nixon, you vou voir. Hey, what's that? Hey, Max Nixon. So anyway, that was what their conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. It was verbatim. Exactly like that.
Yeah, it's very close, awesome. Todd.
Yeah.
So anyway, so then the guy was, and it's really kind of sad in a certain way. It was like, yes, I just can't wait for this crazy war to be over so I can go home to my family and my kids. And you know, that was the other guard telling him that. But he was so worried, he said, with his dialect that it was like high German and low German.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's like, if he was too something, right. It was, and it's like.
He discovered. So what, yeah. Pull his pistol?
No, then he just, here's what they did. They did it, and then they said, okay, we're looking for the canteen, as he said, you know, the mess. He goes, oh, well, let's go to Skumify. Yes. See? Skumify. Hey, Skumify. Como stai?
Was
the
guy French?
A little both. Bilingual. And then he went away, and then they called in an artillery strike in that position.
Oh, they took it. Okay.
Yeah. But another thing he did that he said it was a scary, he didn't even want to talk about because it was the scariest thing, was they put him into a POW camp. Okay, of German POWs.
Wow.
Acting as a German.
Ooh.
To find out, because in those camps, you would still have an SS group that would control the rest of the, you know, and they wanted to weed out the actual SS guys. They had no mercy on the SS guys. None whatsoever.
Can you imagine that, though?
No. He said that bothered him for the rest of his life.
But
that was so, he can't even imagine what would happen to him if he was found out.
Oh, man. But didn't we kind of fall back a little bit? People are complaining, like, when 9/11 happened, how could this happen? Who hates this? Why didn't know? But didn't an administration cut back on, like, the moles? Like, that's the...
Whose administration?
Just one of the president's administrations.
Who did you say, Jim? Clinton?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have to whisper. We're
okay. I don't want to be wrong on that.
No, that reminds me of my mom having a conversation with my aunt, and she knows it, and she goes, she's PG.
They do the, she's pregnant.
But yes, I know. Yes.
Anyway,
they couldn't say the word out loud.
Well, I can say the word. I just didn't want to offend anybody. But that intelligence on the ground is so unbelievably important. You get all these listening devices, but to really get a mole in there is where it's at.
Oh, no question. And that's, like I said, with that's TV
so
show
scary.
Lioness.
Oh, God.
I can't think of anything scarier.
Right.
I mean, that's because if you got spotted out, it's just
and like
boom.
You said, you're fluent in German, but boy, if they detect a different dialect,
that's
and it's
exactly
like, wait a minute. I mean,
right.
I can see that can happen in a lot of different languages.
Where they see the sweat rolling.
I think I would have been a good undercover guy. Don't you? What?
Maybe in the mob, because that's another one they had to get into, and that boy, you get found out there.
Oh, you know what? I've always had a fear of it. This is gonna sound crazy.
Getting found out here.
Well, that too. Being put in a drum, in a drum, and then thrown into the water like the mob used to do to guys, because they found guys in Lake Havasu where the mob had put guys in the barrels and sealed them and threw them in the water, and they found when Lake Havasu went dry, they found barrels with guys in it. That's the old mob thing,
and that's. To torture you.
Yeah, just the whole thing. Because
you know, right, it's not, you'd have to take a bullet to the head, right?
Right,
have it over.
Much, let's do it. Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, yes.
Do you ever really want to get back at me? Just being honest.
I've got a list.
But you know another thing, too, with these people, you know, you don't realize it, but.
Well, you're claustrophobic. That would really.
Oh, God.
Oh, that would be tough for you.
The worst. The worst thing possible.
You would talk like that.
Like that. Absolutely.
Put him in a drum and throw him in the water. He's claustrophobic and he can't swim.
Yeah.
I think we could get anything we wanted out of you.
Anything. You name it. You name it, you got it.
Wow.
Yeah. Not impressive.
All right, Todd.
Now you know my weakness.
Mental note. Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
That wouldn't be that tough either. So.
No.
Okay. All right.
No, we could be arranged right out back. And they'll find it with like one of those, you know, they're fishing with metal things. All right. Whatever.
The diver project.
But here's the deal, though. You know, we always think if you speak a foreign language, well, you got it down pat. But if we ran it, if somebody had like a German dialect and we were fighting the Germans, just that little bit.
Yeah.
You would absolutely get just that little bit. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right. We got to set a quick break. Quick back. Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage, will join us. John Miller, NBC 26, talking about that Packer game last night and last couple of weeks of the regular season. Len Nelson and Michael Bailey, Steam concert coming up in Marinette. If you haven't seen them, you should. They are incredible. Awesome. Back after this.
What a wonderful feeling. Watching the one.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.